Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geekly news on a geekly basis, or pop culture, or whatever it could be, lots of things. It's me, your host, as always, it's Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet, and once again, I am joined by the audacious co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey everyone, it's me, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, and the Snow Queer on Tumblr. I am sad because it's raining.
Hey, Steph, I have some advice for you.
Why?
And everybody
Flex.
Else.
Sorry, Flex. Not why. Why? How dare you give me advice?
Hey, I don't know if you ever heard this before, but it's a bad idea to do blackface. Okay, let's start the show. How have you been? We'll get back to that, but how have you been? How's your day going, besides the rain?
It's been pretty good. I mean, I worked some extra hours because it's a rough time of the year, but, you know, I can rest easy knowing that I have never done blackface, so...
Good. See, look how easy the world is.
And if I had, I certainly wouldn't put it in my yearbook, but...
Good thing you did it. I'm doing pretty good over here. Life is going smoothly, like, on a micro level. The world is still on fire, as it continues to be, but things are going all right for myself. I filed my taxes over the weekend. Well, I got them filed, and, you know, just kind of taking life one day at a time, as they say. Playing lots of games, watching more Brooklyn Nine-Nine, playing games that just came out. Lots going on.
Nice. Yeah, I have been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm caught up, so I've only watched one episode a week. But I did also do my taxes, got that sweet, sweet money come in, and immediately put it towards the interest on my school loans, which is the unsexiest possible way to spend your tax return.
I realized that Pennsylvania is they do their taxes a little better, so you don't get, a state refund from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you shouldn't. You might, locally and federally, but Pennsylvania should always equal, zero from you, and, you shouldn't owe or get returned, which is convenient and seems like that's how things should be. If we're going to tax people, why are we doing it incorrectly? That seems weird, but whatever. I don't understand it, and I don't claim to. That's why I pay a person.
Taxation is stuff, though. H&R Block on the internet to do it.
So, yeah, I went there physically. It was an excuse to go see my family as well. They live out past the person I go see, so I don't know.
That works.
It's not the most efficient use of my time, but it's nice to get out of the house and not just play Overwatch forever and ever. Or Smash Bros.
Fair,
even. But we had a lot of game news this week, but before we start, well, I guess we've already started because we did the How Are You's and we talked about pop culture, pop evil culture event number one is blackface. But before we get into this proper, we have a Discord channel
that
we are starting
come find us.
To use. Yes, we can. I think we can put a link in the show notes. Yes,
we'll do our best to do that.
The horn was perfect. Yeah, well, you know, we'll make sure to moderate and do stuff like that. We just want to try the experiment of getting a small community started and having a little area, so we'll have different
hang out with friends.
Yeah, so if it fails, it fails, but we'll never know until we give it a shot. So come there and you do it. Get questions there, do announcements there, make suggestions, interact with us, and find friends. Friends are cool.
Yeah, so I've heard.
But besides that, at least for me, but I think a lot of people, but also especially for me, this has been a big week in video games. That's most of what I have.
Cool, tell me about them.
Yeah, so what do we even start with? Well, let's start with non-video games. Let's talk about the Super Bowl stuff.
Okay.
Look at that bait and switch. Actually, let's not talk about the Super Bowl at all. It was wholly unappealing. Let's talk about the commercials.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I was, in a house that did not have a TV or internet while it was airing. I watched all the commercials that were relevant to me afterwards, so... let's jump in. I feel like probably the biggest nerd news trailer of the event was the Infinity War thing? The Infinity War
Spot.
Trailer? Spot? Yeah, it wasn't really a trailer, it was like...
Hey, you know we have a movie coming out?
Yeah, it was like 30 seconds, and continued to hurt my feelings. It was, like, just like a couple seconds of like Steve voiceover being sad about like in grief counseling, which I do appreciate. Like, Steve knows how to deal with his feelings in a healthy way. Like, he met Sam at like a PTSD thing. He met, like, he's at grief counseling. Like, bless our non-toxic masculine Captain America.
Yeah, especially considering his place of origin, you know,
like his but respect for my president.
Yeah, people say that, you know, he would be a lot more of a jerk being like a poor white Brooklyn kid from like the 40s or whatever, but you know, like, the Cap's whole thing is like, I still like the thing I read that he's so courageous, so like being a jackass and being a racist isn't really his whole thing necessarily. Like, he could do that, but he doesn't have to be like that, because he'd be like, nah, like, that's not me.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you see his origin story, even if you're just going by the movies, like, he was the kind of guy who, like, even when he was small and disabled, he was, like, trying to stick up for people and getting his ass kicked. Like, Steve is a chronically ill Irish guy raised by a single mother in Brooklyn when being Catholic and Irish was still considered not white. Like...
Was that when that was still?
Like in the 20s and 30s, like, Irish was
Oh, yeah, I guess, like, that's only immigrants. A few years before the 40s. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So, the idea that he would be, like, and then he created a special, like, his special, it's like the Howling Commandos were, like, the most diverse, they were more diverse than the Avengers.
Ooh, got him. You know who it makes more sense that would actually be, like, a Mr. Goody Two Shoes but super racist kind of guy? That'd be Superman. Like, I would believe Superman to be racist before I believe Captain America. Because he was raised just because in Kansas.
He just grew up in the sticks, like.
And then he just happened. He's like from this super race of people, compared to us at least. And then just crash lands at people that look just like him.
Like, yeah, at least, what a coincidence.
Wow, good thing the Kents were super progressive in the 20s. Good thing they just decided that racism is bad. That seems extremely likely. Yes, I totally believe that. Except I don't believe that. That's wild. Well, he always does the right thing. Like, then why do we have the alternate continuity, like, where he lands in Russia, like, and is, like, it seems like his sense of moral is based on where he lands.
Yeah.
I'm no comic nerd. I'm a nerd, and I enjoy comics, but I'm not a comic nerd, and that just seems...
There's some questions there. But yeah, so moving on from my blessed son, Captain America, the thing that I think has been the most subject of talk following this trailer is that it appears that characters have been shopped out of it, or at least one character. There are two spots where there's like a crowd, like a group of five people, and they're like spaced out evenly except for like a spot. That were clearly sloppy. Another person could be standing, or like there's a shot where there are like five people walking in a line and there's like a person sized space between two of them. So I feel like it's too easy to assume that person is Captain Marvel. Just because of the situations that they're in, it feels like it would be weird. Like, it's very like running through the grass in our street clothes kind of thing, or like hanging out in Avengers headquarters. And I feel like if and when Captain Marvel shows up in this movie, it's going to be like mid-battle, not like let's hang out at the headquarters and talk shop.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, when's that gonna happen, you know what I mean? Like, is this a shot like after a battle or something? Like, not the main, but like after some skirmish or something?
Yeah, it's possible that they're like they got their asses kicked and they're like licking their wounds and hanging out together at the Avengers headquarters, but...
Yeah, kind of how, like, Vision was, like, when he just kind of came out of nowhere and, like, okay, we still have to chill for, like, 20 minutes before we go, like, fight Ultron.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I forget who else... Yeah, so that's, like, suspicious of... I mean, like, it could be a character who's died, but they couldn't show being back. Sure. I would love for them to introduce an additional superhero... But I don't know who that person would be. Probably I don't know who makes sense.
Probably just Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I feel like they're not smart enough to introduce Well, or like capable of introducing more characters in this movie that already has like 60 main characters.
Yeah, I mean they're changing Hawkeye to the other guy, right?
Yeah, he's Ronan now. Yeah, so
that's already a thing. And I mean, maybe we get Ironheart or something.
That's what like it was. That's why I'm thinking like I would love for the like this mystery like negative space person to be like someone like Captain Marvel, but Monica Rambeau, or like, because she's in the Captain Marvel movie, like, yeah. Or like, I don't know, like Squirrel Girl or someone.
Yeah, it can't be Squirrel Girl. People would lose their mind. They already hate how much comedy's in these movies. Like, people would like. Yeah, they'd be upset.
People can suck my dick.
I mean, I guess it's. I see where people are coming from. I think I've got to the root of like why the comedy in a lot of these movies doesn't land for people. Mm-hmm. The comedy lands, but it feels weird. Is because it doesn't seem totally consistent. With the law,
yeah.
Like there's jokes at weird times. Like, man, that joke was good and it landed, but like, why write a joke there?
It didn't. Yeah, like, why is this scene the joke scene? Like,
yeah, and I don't mean like in a Tony quipping at the bad guy or Spider-Man or stuff. I guess it's not so much the snarkers that do it. It's the fact that like everybody will get one-liners where it's like, is that really their thing? Because now it makes Tony seem less cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Captain America can snark as well as Tony, like, is that a trait? Like, is Tony a dick or is he just better at it, you know? And mm-hmm. I've seen people talk about that in some movies, and it never pulls me out of it, like, watching the movie. But I get the complaint, but I don't mm-hmm. get complaining about it that much.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I feel ya.
But Squirrel Girl, her whole thing is being funny, so I feel like this wouldn't be the movie to introduce her. Like,
no, and yeah.
Right away. That might actually be weird, like, tonally.
Yeah, tonally that would be, like, she is not a character that hits well, like, tonally for the, like, DC-level darkness of the filmography of these trailers thus far.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe if we get to a point where Thanos is coming back, like how he does in the comics, yeah, mm-hmm. let her just, like, goof with him. Like, that'll be great. Like, oh, hey, you used to be this big deal, and now you're getting stopped by the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Because everybody does. But, like, yeah. It's a movie, so we're not really going to ever have her solve major conflicts out of her own movies because we're cowards.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, there are characters from, like, maybe it's Loki. I don't know. Like, part of the speculation has been that they're going to time travel back to the original Battle of New York to stop Loki there and get him on their side so Thanos won't have the spear.
Huh. Yeah, I guess that could, I guess any one of these events could really be useful. Like, that's a very specific time, but I guess going back and doing any one thing different will cause a lot of problems.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe it's Deadpool.
Yeah, maybe it's Deadpool. Maybe the crossover is real. Well, Fox and Disney just finalized their merger, I think, so. Yeah,
that's horrible.
Disney owns even more of the things we love.
Yeah, hopefully we get something good out of all this horribleness, because it's horrible. Anyway, what's next? What's the next teaser you saw?
The next teaser I saw was also Marvel. It was Captain Marvel, in fact.
How'd you like it? The lady herself.
I did like it. It was, again, it was like a 30-second, 40-second spot. I suspected they would, like, they're pulling out the little, like, Kelly Sue DeConnick, like, bits from her reboot, like, or, like, her repackage, I guess, in, like, very, like, tantalizing bits, like, so this trailer, like, the theme was Higher, Further, Faster, More, which was the title of, one of the arcs of the, one of the arcs of the comics.
Okay.
Like, and so that's, like, the theme in this trailer is just, like, it pops up at the beginning as, like, a thing that she shares with Monica's mom as, like, as the fighter pilots, like, higher, further, faster, baby. And then it, like, is, like, the, like, chorus of the trailer, like, just, like, boom, 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 like, cool thing after cool thing. So that's really cool. I don't know if they're going to save it for the movie or not, but I hope that if they don't use it in a trailer, they do use it in a movie. But there's a really, like, poignant like beat in the comics, and I'm stalling because I'm googling the exact line. But
stalling.
It's one of those it's one of those things that like I get teary just saying it, like there's a so here it is. Have you ever seen a little girl run so fast she falls down? There's an instant, a fraction of a second, before the world catches hold of her again. A moment when she's outrun every doubt and fear she's ever had about herself, and she flies. In that one moment, every little girl flies. And, like...
What's that from again?
It's from the Kelly Sue DeConnick Captain Marvel run.
Oh, okay.
Like, so it's actually... It's, like, right there. It's in the source material. Like, it's about... finding herself and, like, finding where she belongs, so it's very relevant to this movie. Like, I just want them to use it, because...
That's right there. That's a home run for them. They'll get some happy eyes, and could theoretically, since it's a company, sell tons of merch, so they might as well throw it in.
Yeah, exactly.
I know how companies work.
Yeah.
What else we got? What other, there's another teaser, I believe, correct?
Yeah, I have two more teasers to talk about. The next two were spooky. So, I don't know if you'll remember these from your childhood, because from, like, and I don't mean this as denigrating, but you weren't as much of a reader as I was. But there's a classic series called Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that had the most horrifying, like, if you do remember them, it's because they had the most horrifying, haunting illustrations.
I don't think our school library had those.
Like, I don't know why my Catholic school library had them.
Because it was a decent school.
They're, like, horrifying. Like, if you look up, like, the original illustrations, they're just very, like, I'm trying to think of a word. Like, they're haunting. They're not gruesome. Like, they're not... like gory, they're just very eerie and
like disturbing and off-putting.
Disturbing, kind of, yeah, like in an off-putting way, like unsettling is a good word. And so the series is an anthology series, like they're all short stories, but they're being adapted for film by Guillermo del Toro.
Interesting.
Which is a great pairing. Because he's great at horror, especially that kind of, like, unsettling, like, question your reality kind of, like, some body horror, but more just, like, creepy. Like Pan's Labyrinth, where you're like, this is gruesome and, like, kind of terrifying and all, but, like, also, like, I'm questioning whether this is, like, actually a fairy story or this girl's hallucinating, like, so there were a series of, like, 6 10-second spots that were each, like, teasing to one of the short stories. And I don't know if I'm going to watch them because I'm a coward when it comes out. But they look really cool. Like, the adaptation of the characters to screen has been done really well, which I think there's something that would have been a big risk because, like, in the wrong hands, just because, like, the character designs are so iconic and, like, the illustrations are so memorable that if they translated badly, it would just ruin the whole thing. The
character independent, sounds like.
Yeah, so, they look very good and very spooky, and they're, like, they're short stories. They're not, like, long, like, narratives, so, like, capturing the essence of them in that 10-second trailer, and, like, it's one of those things, like, so on one of my favorite podcasts, which I think I've probably talked about on here before, The Cryptid Keeper, they were talking about Junji Ito comics last week, and he wrote the Enigma of Amigara Fault, and... Yeah,
he draws some horrifying stuff.
Yeah, he draws very scary stuff, but what's scary about it is the, like, is not necessarily the story itself, but the,
I think there's a word. The way
he tells it?
Yeah, there's, like, a word for that kind of thing. I forget what it is. It's, like, the opposite of the, like, a cathartic feeling.
Yeah, it's like, unsettling, like, the way he tells it. is what makes it terrifying, not necessarily the concept itself. Like, if you try to explain the concept, it can sound kind of mundane.
Yeah,
like, but it's the execution that does it.
Yeah, like, the fault story is not, like, the story in of itself is like, oh, that's a little, that's too bad. Hopefully I don't see one of those holes that's shaped like me. But you read the story, like, that's horrifying, like.
Yeah, it's that's where it's unsettling, so.
Yeah, a good, like, having a good eye for story and art.
Yeah, so I think that it's really in the right hands, so I'm excited for that, And then the last spooky thing is The Twilight Zone.
That's very good. It's also an unsettling thing. It's also very good.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, The Twilight Zone's The Twilight Zone. Like, if you've never, like, read about it or heard, watched any episodes or been to the Hollywood Tower of Terror at Disney World, The Twilight Zone is a classic old horror anthology show, black and white. TV show hosted by a person who was very, like, not average looking. What was his name? Twilight Zone. God bless the internet. What is your name, man? Rod Serling.
Yes.
Like, he had a very, like, very just, like, memorable voice and, like, just, like, a very, like, everyman kind of look. And he, does, and, like, he narrates, and, like, he, like, introduces, all the different tales of, like, horror and suspense and that kind of stuff that happens in each episode of the show, which is, like, Black Mirror, but, like, the moral of every episode isn't, what if your phone could kill you? and, like, it's just, like, one of those, and there's usually, like, it's a show that, so Jordan Peele is rebooting it.
Yes.
Which is a perfect, I buried the lead there, that's a classic Geekly Reveal, method of telling a story. Jordan Peele is rebooting it, and he's, like, really the perfect person for it, because I haven't seen a lot of Twilight Zone episodes, but from what I know of them, it's very much about punching up. Like, the people who get theirs at the end of episodes are often people who have demonstrated some kind of hubris or some kind of, like, intolerance or something like that, where the shocking twist at the end gets, like, they get theirs kind of thing. Like, yeah. You know, there's an episode where, like, a guy is trying to get, like, something like humanity is, like, destroyed around him, and he's just grateful because finally he's going to be able to read, like, to sit in quiet and read his books, and then, like, at the end of the episode, like a tree falls on his glasses or something like that, and he's just fucked kind of thing.
Like, yeah, like, yeah, be grateful for what you have, or you're gonna get your comeuppance. That's always the trend of the better episodes, from what I hear.
Yeah, and, like, I think because of Jordan Peele's got such a perfect combo, like, a perfect sensibility for, like, horror, but also biting social commentary and, like, shocking twists and, like, a story that feels like suspense but also a thriller, and, like, but he also has, like, great, like, comedic chops, so it's just, like, he's the perfect person.
Yeah, he's gonna do,
to do this reboot.
He has,
it's going
to
be really cool.
Yeah, especially after Get Out and all his work on Key and Peele, and then he has the new movie Us coming out.
Yeah, which I think there was another trailer for during the Super Bowl, but
that was recent, yeah. This isn't a this isn't really a horror podcast.
Yeah.
We just support Black people, which puts me in a precarious situation when they're like, go see his new horror movie. I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Can I buy a ticket
and someone else go see it for me?
Yeah, I made the terrible mistake of watching the Us trailer when it dropped on Christmas morning. Yeah. I don't know why I did that. It was too scary for me.
It's a creepy trailer. Luckily, Get Out's not viscerally scary, like, in a physical sense.
Yeah, like, it's unsettling.
It's unsettling, like, on a, like, like a societal way, like, oh man, who's out to get me kind of thing, because like racism exists. Not the same kind of thing you get when you watch Saw, like, man, these traps are scary, but man, would it suck if somebody like kidnapped me for something that I slighted them on? That would be pretty crappy and I would never see it coming, versus, oh man, white supremacy is trying to destroy black people. That's existentially scary.
Well, that's existentially scary because it's true.
Yeah. But, like, watching it manifest in a movie like that, you're like, okay, well, the movie's not scary. The concept, the theme is scary, you know?
Yeah.
The same way that, like, Jason would be scary in real life, but watching the movie, like, that's a dude who runs kind of quick sometimes, like, who apparently can get that work, like, in that new one that came, not the new one, but the one that came out that was just called, like, Friday the 13th or whatever one it was that was, like, 10 years ago. And they went to the camp again. And everyone split up, and the black dude's like, let's not do that. And then he goes he goes down to the shed, like, they're at the campground. And he's like, oh, man, something's down there. But my buddy was just down there, so I'll go see if he's all right. Maybe something fell on him. And the dude's dead. But he sees Jason, so he hits him with, like, a two-piece combo. Like, he just, like, punch him in the chest. And, like, is working Jason over. And Jason, like, falls down. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize he could just get beat up. So he does the correct thing in that situation, which I guess the correct thing would be to double tap, but, you know, he's like, I gotta go back, because that wasn't an easy fight. So he tries to run back up to the house. And you know what Jason's signature weapon is, a machete, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, unless you're a black dude running away, because this asshole grabs a hatchet and throws it at him. I'm like, that feels like you broke the rules. That's not what he's supposed to do. And he, like, gets the dude in the back and he dies. I'm like, that feels like cheating. It feels like going above and beyond to, like, cheat. Like, you could have
just to kill the black guy.
Like. Yeah, like, you could either let him get away and get killed later, or just kill him then. Like, I'm not saying he necessarily had to be the last guy. Like, I get it. Like, not everyone can. But, and he wasn't the first one to die, so I'm like, that's okay. But that was, like, a cop-out death. I didn't like that. But that wasn't scary, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
But, Jordan Peele's good. That's, I think he'll do a good job with The Twilight Zone. You ever see, The Outer Limits?
I saw one episode of The Outer Limits, once, like, on my grandpa's, like, weird old, like, spin the dial to get the channels TV in his basement at his house once.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was an anthology show, and so, like, when it ended with, like, a terrible cliffhanger, I was like, oh god, I have to find out what's next. But any time I ever found it on TV again when I was home, it was a different episode, and so, like, never found out what was next.
But it was the ending. There was nothing, right? Or was it actually?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I assume.
Yeah, I think that was more
really
like...
I dug into it.
Yeah, I think that show was more twist ending than, like, comeuppance.
Yeah.
For what I could... I've only seen one episode of it, but from what I hear. It was a pretty good episode, actually. I liked it. My suspense was raised. And it was like, yeah, it leaves you with that, like, unsettled feeling where you, like, you have that weird pit in your stomach. You're like, oh man, that's fucked. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I think I would go so far as to say that I'm a fan of anthology horror shows.
Yeah. Because they're not, like, scary. They're just kind of scary. So
yeah, good. Exactly.
That's fun. What's next? Okay, so we're gonna jump into video game land. Unlike that bait switch from the beginning. So,
yeah.
Let's just run through the Overwatch stuff from last week, because that's what I love. New Assault map, I think they're called. The two capture point maps came out on the test region. It's Paris. You can see Notre Dame in the back. There's lots of posters around it, little lore tidbits. There's, like, an Omnic singer in one of the spawns. She looks very pretty. They built a working piano in it. Like, you can play songs if you, like, shoot the buttons.
Oh, my God.
Like, so you have to be, like... either McCree or Widow, or, like, somebody who can pinpoint shoot. So someone used, like, Symmetra, her, like, right click.
So extra.
But, like, you could play the piano, like, it's tuned correctly, which is a weird thing to do. I don't know why they went out of their way to do that, but I think because people love the bell so much on Dorado, they're like, let's do that, but as a piano. But it's a real-sized piano. Like, it's not a giant piano where anyone can do it. You'd have to, like, Winston can't play that piano. Lucio can't play that piano, like... It's weird. It's wild. I don't know why I would do such a thing, but it's cool. And neither can, like, Sombra or Soldier, because they're bullet spread, so whatever. That's there. But it's beautiful. It's a really pretty map, and I wonder how it'll play. I haven't tested it, but I've seen some playthrough. we never know how these things work out till they come out on the live client and go into competitive, but it's pretty. That's all we can really ask for. No one likes that mode anyway. The Overwatch League jerseys are available now through Fanatic. Is that is that what these sites are? Is that what it's called? They like make like merchandise and stuff.
I think it's Fanatics. I don't know. Yes, sure.
It's called Fanatics. They do like NFL merchandising. I think movie merchandising too. Lots of different stuff. So of course, if you go to their website, don't do it right now because it's just covered in Patriots bullshit. But you can easily get around that by just when you search Fanatics, you search Overwatch or your preferred sport or team of choice from anything else. And you can, you know, go there and buy all kinds of different gear. Mostly just the shirts, like shirts and jerseys, which are, if I recall correctly, for some reason, they're all under like the men's group, which no one understands why that is.
Oh yeah, I saw some unhappiness about that on Twitter the other day. Like, just put them under a unisex heading. Like, you don't even have to do like a baby doll cut. Like,
yeah, it was weird that they did that. It's interesting to realize after a while that, not realize in that sense, but I mean, now that I've realized and seen enough people wear shirts that say men's cut or unisex cut, they don't really fit anybody. It's just that, like, since men tend to have less curves, you don't notice how badly they fit because men don't dress that well to begin with. But they're pretty pretty not fitting. They just fit people with breasts quite worse. And so it's noticeable that it's a bullshit shirt. Fitted men's shirts. If you've never worn a fitted men's shirt, men out there, try one. You'll look a lot better. It'll fit a lot better. It's kind of why dress shirts have a different shape to them, I think. But yeah, you can buy the jerseys for all the teams and the players, including blank ones, so that's pretty cool, home and away. And there's even some autograph stuff up there. It's probably gone by now, but when it came up, that was there. So that's, and then like some of the old merch, like the socks and the shot glasses and stuff, they don't have all of the merchandise yet, and I think more is to come. But if you want a jersey to start the season out, check that out. And then I think that same day or the next day, they also announced their all-access pass for Twitch again this year. And it's actually beefed up, so it seems more worthwhile.
There was some kind of perk. What was it?
So there's a lot of perks to it, but the one good thing about this, so instead of just watching what you would see on either like Disney XD or I think some of the ESPN channels or just a main Twitch view, you can now view up to two players' first-person camera. So if you know how to watch Overwatch as your favorite streamer would, or if you get the gist of first-person, you can watch what they're doing because, you know, often they'll just show the Widow battle or, you know, when the Tracer gets a kill, but you didn't get to see the cool route they were running to get there, you know? And I think they have all this as, like, for tapes they can watch as teams anyway, so it's not like you can use this for advanced scouting, really. But it's a nice little perk that they've added, so you can actually watch the action, which you want to watch. You can watch cool Lucio wall riding when GOATS stops being a thing. And along with that, you also get some bits to use on Twitch, which is their site currency that you can use for other things, and 200 Overwatch League tokens, so you can either get two skins or that legendary Lucio emo remakes his speakers and plays music. So it seems fun. I'll probably get it. It's $15, and if you just look at how much League tokens cost plus bits, it pays for itself just with that without any perks on top of that. Plus you get like a lot of Twitch emotes and other stuff. So it's, as far as money is worth anything that's digital, it's already worth it before you actually use it. But I think it would be pretty cool to use. I think you also can get, like, paid-only chat, so there's a lot less garbage in the chat. I mean, there's still going to be garbage, because out of, like, how many people watch, like, 500,000 at any given time, a portion of those are going to be, like, shitheads. But there's going to be less spam in general. So if someone specific is being a shithead, you'll have a better chance to block them, and it won't just be as much spam. So you remember that the guy who's remember when everyone was spamming the tryhard sevens?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so that guy Trihex actually is a pretty chill dude, who's like a speedrunner, like often. Like, he does speedrunning and like plays tournaments and stuff, isn't a streamer. And I saw him on this podcast he does with this guy Destiny, who I know is a divisive figure in the community for a few reasons, but the Trihex dude, he was talking about how like it's kinda shitty to be like, as the person who has one of the few black people emotes on Twitch, you kind of become, even though you try not to be like the spokesperson of what people think about stuff, about like, black people kind in of general.
Come that even if you don't want to.
Yeah, because he's like, I know what the intention of this emote was when it first came out and how a lot of Twitch uses it, but then racists started using it. So, like, do I think it should be globally banned from Twitch? That kind of feels bad for me, but I see where you guys are coming from. It's complicated, and I can't tell you how another black person feels. Like, because, like, because think about it, like, if he shows up on someone's stream and everyone spams that emote, are they being racist or are they spamming the emote of the person on the screen? Like, his experience is wholly different. Now, if he sees it for other people, he knows that person's doing it that way. But some chats were using it as a, oh man, look at this person playing right now, or look at the streamer, they're being a tryhard. Like, that's, like, these emotes had some meaning at first, like how Pepe had a meaning at first until assholes stole it. Yeah. And now we're like, darn, now we can't use Pepe, even though, like, there was a time and a place to use, like, the, like, sad face, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's like, is that person a Nazi, or are they not keeping up, or do they, like, just really love that frog that much? What do we do? I don't know. It kind of sucks. So, just curate your communities if you can. Twitch is always hard to do that on. But yeah, let's see Alexis' view on that. And then I guess we can pivot to Apex Legends, because it's sort of Overwatch-like. Sure. It's taking a lot of their audience right now. So if I go to Twitch right now, I can do it on my phone. Nice. And I can browse the category. So right now, Apex Legends is the number one game on Twitch right now. It has... So, Fortnite is number 2 with 132,000 viewers, and Apex Legends is 232,000 viewers, so almost double. And Overwatch is... Ooh, that's a bad little number. That's 14,900. So, a much huger magnitude less. It normally has less, but a lot of the big streamers from Overwatch have gone to Apex Legends. Obviously, you have, like, the mainstay streamers over there, like Ninja went over there, Tim the Tatman... Summit1G, which is like a group, so they just bring 50,000 views. But I saw Ninja was over there, so it's like that 100,000 viewer swing, because 50 away from Fortnite, 50 into Apex. Yeah, so it's basically a battle royale game where you run in squads of three, and it kind of has like hero shooter properties and abilities. So people very quickly compared it to Overwatch. It's made by are they called Respawn? I forget who makes this game. It's the people who made Titanfall, which was a pretty cool idea. I never really played it because I wasn't really into shooters like that when it came out. But it's being published by, Respawn Entertainment. It's being published by EA, which is horrible, but it was made by Respawn, and it kind of just came out one day. Like, people knew it was coming, but they didn't know it was, like, that day. But yeah, it's another game in the battle royale genre, but a lot of people are thinking it's going to do well because it feels good to play. It doesn't have some of the BS from Fortnite, and it actually works, unlike PUBG. And it's free, unlike the Call of Duty game, which a lot of people do like the Call of Duty Battle Royale. So,
what a concept.
Yeah, like, every time people say, we don't need another one in this genre, the people who are innovating on it are actually getting... Like, they're finding their niche. Like, yeah, Fortnite added the building, but maybe you don't want to do that. But PUBG kind of, like, is glitchy, and they don't update it well. And Call of Duty's like, yeah, we'll throw our hats in that ring. And then Apex Legends was like, well, what if we did it, like, with hero abilities? And, like, you had to do squads. And people are like, that seems cool. So I think there's room for all these, especially for pick up and play. It seems like a streaming game. I'm going to give it a shot this weekend. And, of course, like, there's microtransactions and loot boxes, but that's a little more palatable when the game's free. And the transactions are never... They're not... Hey, you'll buy this and you'll be better. It's like, it's cosmetic stuff, and I've seen some people say the cosmetics aren't that great anyway. I don't know. It's really up to personal taste, but it seems pretty cool. A lot of streamers went over there. A lot of people are frustrated with the games they're playing, whether it be Smash Bros. Or Overwatch or Fortnite. There's a lot of reason to go over there. One guy said Fortnite's the best game he's never played because... because kids love it so much, it's actually gotten, like, a lot of the 12-year-olds out of his, like, Dota and League of Legends matches. Not that 12-year-olds are necessarily bad at video games. Often they're better than some of us, like, athletically. But they're a lot harder to reason with because they're 12. It's not their fault. Like, they should get to play, but I don't want to play with them. That's just...
Yeah.
I'm have fun, but
that tracks.
Don't scream in my ear, little kid. Like, yes, you're carrying the team, but like, I wish you would stop screaming. That's a fair statement. So, but a lot of those kids want to go play like Fortnite. That's what they're doing, and they're meeting up over there because apparently a lot of kids don't play Fortnite. Like, so they're playing Fortnite, but they're not playing the objective of Fortnite. Like, they'll go and just do dances and stuff, which is fascinating. They're using it like an online hangout space.
Uh-huh. Like Club Penguin?
Yeah, except you can kill each other, and you're supposed to be doing that, but they're like, we will do that, but let's stun on each other first. Which is beautiful and interesting.
Yeah, there's something kind of great about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know much about Apex Legends. It looks cool, and lots of people are making content and making a little bit of money off of it, and people seem to be happy about it. But speaking of kids meeting in Fortnite, that Marshmello guy, that DJ or whatever, did a concert in Fortnite, like a live concert. I think it was probably pre-recorded, but it was like in Fortnite as a live event that you could go to.
That's wild.
And they like had respawns. So like if someone killed you, I think, I don't know
how. At the concert?
Yeah, like I don't know how this works. I'm assuming you lose, but you respawn back in. Like, so you can keep watching the concert. So there was like less motivation to kill people maybe. But it's a fascinating thing to do, like a live event in a game like that. I haven't looked up too many of the details because I've been very, very busy over the last few days. I'm very sorry, everyone. But I just wanted to talk to you about like the concept of that, because that's wild to me that they would say, hey, here's a concert in this game. Like, we were just talking before the show about the Pearl and Marina from Splatoon 2, like off the hook concerts, like as holograms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole other thing to do a concert in the game.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, it's very, it is kind of like peak, like, we were always heading there kind of thing. Like, I feel like Second Life, people were getting married in Second Life, and like, and in World of Warcraft, like, what is the, like, if you can meet up in a game to all do a raid, why can't you meet up in the game to all watch the same thing happen?
Yeah, it stands to reason that would exist. I think the thing that's shocking about it is that it's not, these aren't, like, supposed to be you, necessarily. Like, your avatar, like, you can customize it, but it's not you. It's not, like, how you made your own person in Second Life. It's not even, like, a me, I don't think. It's just, like, right? Like, they're just characters that exist in Fortnite?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're just, like, I don't think you customize your character. I think it's just a,
like, I know you get skins and stuff, but I don't know. You can customize it with some things, but everyone has to be, like, roughly the same size for the game to be fair. So you can't say I'm a short person or a tall person or a fat person or a skinny person. Is there a way to, like, say somebody's, like when you're not fat-shaming somebody, would you still refer to the characters as, like, fat or something? Is that still...
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Like, you're not using it as a pejorative, just as a descriptor?
Okay. Yeah.
If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. I'm not trying to be an ass. I just don't actually know. But yeah, you wouldn't make your character larger or smaller in any dimension because that would change the balance of the game. So it can never be you, but at least you can change the color of your character, which is pretty fresh. So I like the idea of that. I don't know. Look, we always think about the children. If they'd rather be playing Fortnite than going out committing crimes, like they want to go watch Marshmello, like, that's fine by me.
More power to them.
And a lot of people are like, oh, I'm glad I grew up playing, like, these other games instead of Fortnite. I'm like, I wish you would have grew up playing Fortnite because you're an asshole. like, you harass women online. Like, maybe you should have played Fortnite. Like, these kids don't...
Yeah, clearly these kids know what they're doing more than you.
Like, these kids are arguing with government because government won't fix gun laws. And you're saying, like, oh, SJWs are trying to ruin video games because they wanted a black person to be in a game. So, like, I don't know. Maybe playing Halo as you were growing up wasn't the greatest thing. Who knows? But yeah, also Apex Legends has more black women in it than Overwatch on day one.
That was easy.
It was extremely easy. All you had to do was make one.
Make a single one.
Yep, just one playable. And people actually like the designs of these characters. Everyone's like, oh, they like, you know, it's people of color and women and women of color and men of color and various women. Like, people like these characters. No one's really against this if they're, like, not a shithead. And I don't know why so many people are or why we listen to those people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the stats came out today that, like, people complain about The Last Jedi, but it had, like, ridiculously high box office and merchandise sales. you know, people complain.
Well, shocking.
Yeah, they're like, oh, like all these, like, you look at the fact that except for, like, Battlefront 2 or whatever one it was, games can commit, like, the worst atrocities, like, not the worst atrocities, but the worst atrocities of, like, business practice in games, is what I was going to say. Like, the worst thing you can do in games right now, obviously not the worst thing you can do in the world. It's not that serious. And people will still buy the hell out of these games, despite the fact that we're like, this is garbage, stop doing this. Like, this is, like, they're like, oh, why? Because you and SJW. I'm like, who cares if I am? I'm not buying it. Like, this is about you. You're getting exploited. Like, there's like 17 different ways to pre-order this game, and you got to buy microtransactions just to beat it. It doesn't work half the time. Like, you're going to pay for that. Like, but you're always talking about consumers. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't buy that game. I don't know. A lot of business practices are weird, but I don't know. I went on a bunch of rants today about Overwatch on Twitter, and it makes me sad because, like, I don't think the game's dying, but there's so much less enthusiasm from, like, a lot of people on the internet, like, that play it a lot, because it's like, guys, what are you doing? Like, could you be more transparent with some of your development stuff? Just because
Tell us what you're trying to fix so we believe that you're trying to fix something.
Yeah, like, we all have, at least I have a lot of faith in them as developers and programmers. Like, if there's a problem, I think they can figure out how to fix it. I don't doubt that they can't, but they're like, Blizzard's so obsessed with, like, make sure it's perfect and pristine when it comes out. I'm like, bro, just make a little change and see if that works. Like it should be slower now because they're trying to match patches to stages of Overwatch League. I get that. But, like, in their testing, do iteration, like, for us to see, so we know what's going on. They don't owe it to us. It's not how this works. They don't owe us anything. But they're like, oh, man, this one meta's really stale. People aren't having fun playing their character. Some people think some stuff's overpowered. And we're like, just tell us what's going on. Like, why don't we have any black women? Where's the lore? Are there other gays? Like, what's this social
feature?
Please
tell me about the gays.
Do you have a social feature that you're not telling us? You're like, it's coming. Like, why? What is it? Why won't you tell us what it is? Is it something that's so new you don't want someone to, like, scoop it? Is it really not that serious? You don't want to overblow it? Like, because now it's overblown. And we want to know, like, there's so many things. Like, why did you only release? Why are there only three classes in this game when everybody who's ever played it for more than, like, a couple hours, which is knows
most
that there's
people,
there's more than three roles in this game that serve different functions no matter what your meta is, you know. If I say I need a main tank, I need someone with a barrier. Like if you understand this game, you know we need that. They're just shooting shit at us. And people are like, we'll go with Zarya and Roadhog. I'm like, we're all going to die. We're going to die a lot. And I can't heal you through getting shot in the face by a sniper rifle. There's nothing I can do. And why did you build a game that, like, doesn't foster that growth? Like, why am I dealing with people who are trolling on this game or playing poorly but think they're doing the right thing, you know?
And
I don't blame the players. Like, why would they know any better? Like, they're probably not a jackass like me going online watching hours of content on this, so I get that they don't know this or they're not thinking of it, but why isn't that, like, in the game? So it's just kind of like, that's why so many people are saying it's dead or, like, thinking of moving to other stuff. Like, how is there a game that's supposed to be this big has 14,000 on Twitch? Like, I don't understand why it's, like, I know there's a new hotness right now, but it's just weird to see a game you like just kind of spin its wheels, and it's like, I don't really feel enthusiastic about playing a game where I feel like I might lose. I've already lost a game before it started because someone else's weird choices, you know? Like, maybe I'm the weak link, but we were trying to make a chain and somebody was trying to make, like, a wall. It's like, okay, well, I was the weak link, but we never had a chance of being a chain because that guy's over there being something else. Like, that doesn't feel good. Like, how do I know if I'm getting better? How do I know when to work on myself, you know? So,
yeah.
All that to say, lots happening in gaming, and that's why I'm glad I found a single-player game. I've been playing Wargroove. Did I talk about that?
Oh, yeah, tell me about that. No, I don't think so.
It's
That's why I put it on the list.
Yes, it's right there, Wargroove. It's like it's a tactics game, a turn-based strategy game. So a lot of people were praising Into the Breach last year. From everything I saw, it was very praiseworthy. I'm not trying to make this a but statement, but it was not exactly Advance Wars, which is fine. It didn't have to be, but that's an itch a lot of us have been having, is this specific type of game. And while Wargroove is not 100% that, it's a very good 90% close to that, and all the changes are not for the worse. They're not necessarily better. You know what I mean? They're just different, you know? Like, you don't capture properties by going onto that space. You go to the adjacent space, and you can't actually go onto it. Which, that just changes the game. It doesn't make it any better or worse. It just changes it, you know? And there's a lot of good stuff in there. They're still working on it. They're making some nice quality of life features, like showing you strengths and weaknesses on it. I think it's Chucklehead mm-hmm. Games. I think they published Stardew Valley, but they worked on a bunch of other games. But yeah, so you can't save during missions, but like it doesn't actually matter, like, because you can just turn your Switch off, or like you can suspend your PC. I still think they should have it in case I want to go do something else, like play a different game. But I'm sure they'll add something like that. But
yeah,
the main characters, they have a female protagonist, and like her vizier is a older black gentleman, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And there's going to be different, you know, there's various people of color within the other factions. One of the factions is plant people, and one's like undead and skeletons and stuff. So there's a lot of like species diversity, which is fun in a fantasy setting. It doesn't seem to be like purely Tolkien-esque, you know. One of the commanders in the main in the first faction is a dog, which is cool. Okay. And the people that he commands just seem to get the gist of what he's doing. Like they don't understand him, but they'll be like, oh hey. This seems like what he's gesturing at, and he doesn't speak. He just is like, woof, woof. Like, you see the barks, and you hear him. And they're like, seems like he wants to go this way. Like, ah, man, he's upset. Probably that means we have more to do. Like, so they don't actually know, but they have a gist of it. It's a cute game. There's a little bit of humor to it. The mechanics seem fun enough. There's a lot of different units. Basically, if you've played Advance Wars, you get the gist of it. And if you've not, it explains all the mechanics pretty well. So it's good for if you've never played Advance Wars or a game like that, you can get it. And if you have, it teaches the differences pretty easily. And there's like difficulty sliders. You can change like how much damage your characters take and do and how much you like charge your gauge and stuff like that. But it's pretty fun. Yes. The music's really good. I don't know. I have a lot of good things to say about it. And it has like high ratings across the board. So it's out for, I believe, Xbox, PC, and Switch. And they have crossplay. So if you want to play against your friends on those consoles or make maps and trade them, you can. I haven't dug into all of it, but apparently there are a lot of creation tools you can use too. Like, you can actually make a campaign, like make dialogue probably, and do little cutscenes and stuff, as well as making maps. So it's a very good game for $20. I'm happy with like the first act that I've played of it. I'm very, very happy. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Nice. Cool. It sounded interesting. I might have to grab it.
Yeah, check out like a video review or something. Just like see if the gameplay speaks to you. But they're going to be making some quality of life tweaks. But it seems like a good game to play on the Switch. Like, take along with you. Put on the TV if you want. I might get it for PC again if I get more big into streaming. It seems like there's probably going to be like mods and a good community to trade stuff. But mods are always fun. But yeah,
nice.
I would give it a look if you have some time. And this last story, somebody's getting wrecked. Right?
Oh no, you cut out. Say it again.
I said somebody got wrecked, I think.
I think so. So now's a part of the story where the two of us, neither of whom have played Kingdom Hearts 3, talk about Kingdom Hearts 3.
Is it? I was talking about Vic.
Oh, Vic, you didn't put him on here. I didn't know.
It's not on the list. If we're looking at different show notes.
I'm looking at the one that starts out with Discord Super Bowl trailers.
That's not what I'm looking at.
74?
Let me hit a refresh on this. Yeah, we're looking at different show notes. Looking behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen, gentle people, we're looking at different show notes. We must have done some kind of parallel editing or something.
Oh, I think I started this last week so we wouldn't forget to talk about the Discord.
Oh,
and then I was just editing it.
That's what I did too.
Cool. Let's talk about him first.
Yeah,
I was looking through the Mary Sue to see if there's anything else we missed, and I just saw the link about him, and so I was like, oh, let's talk about that too.
Yeah, so you know more about him than I do, so you want to get that going for us?
Yeah, so Vic Mignogna has always been a kind of controversial figure in the voice acting community. He has played a number of very iconic roles in anime, from Edward Elric in both versions of Fullmetal Alchemist to Tamaki in Orin High School Host Club and a number of other things.
He's Brawly in the new Dragon Ball Super movie, which he never seemed like he'd be that kind of guy, but okay.
Yeah, he was Dark Mousy in Dian Angel, which is the show that got me into anime. He was in, pretty sure he was in Sayuki 2, which is the other show that got me into anime. I think he's Kogaiji. But anyway, he has a very long and impressive resume of anime characters. He was Kamina in Gurren Lagann, I think. No, that was Kyle Hibbert. He is fine. He's a perfectly good person. Just kidding. But I think he was in Gurren Lagann. I don't know. Anyway, Vic Mignogna. His resume is only equaled by the amount of controversy surrounding him at conventions. He has been known in the convention scene as a homophobe for years because he refuses to acknowledge anyone who brings him anything that is remotely slashy to sign, refuses to, engage with people who, even, people who say, oh, this character you played helped me with this other issue, this tied to sexuality, he hasn't been receptive to that, most voice actors will be, in good faith will, record your shippy voicemail, recording or something like that, say something goofy in the character's voice, but he was always very, sticky about what he was going to, what he would do or not do, and not to shit on anyone's religion, but he was always very, fundy, evangelical Christian,
he did a morning service, the one year he was at Colossal Con that we were, right?
At cons that he's at, he usually tries to do, a morning service on Sundays which is fine,
fine idea.
Bring, the people to your religion, or bring the religion to the people if they're not going to the religion, all of his panels, he always ended it, shilling his, recording of the Gospel of John that he did, with piano under it, that's fine, we don't want the gospel, we don't have to get it, but, there have also been, in the voice acting community for many years, suggestions that Vic was, inappropriate with his younger female fans, and older women, and just is not a great person to be around, and that news finally broke in the real world recently. Let's click on this link so that I can get the deets right. He was just dropped from Ruby, which is a big deal because Rooster Teeth's got the money now.
They don't need him.
They really don't need him. Yeah. Anime News Network reported late last month about the accounts of female fans who shared incidents of Mignogna's alleged homophobia, rude behavior, and most concerning, making unwanted physical advances on female congoers in a thread that spread with over 4,000 likes. Yeah, 4,000 likes and over 400 comments detailing incidents of unwanted and unsolicited physical affection.
Yeesh. Unfortunately, the society we live in, he could have got away with the homophobia in the anime industry. Or at least at the anime con circuit. I'm not saying he should have, but he could have. But yeah.
Yeah, if that was just the thing, people have been tolerating that from him for years,
That's really gross, and I don't condone it, but that's not a crime.
Yeah, I mean, the main ship with Ed Elric is either with his brother or with his, adult superior, there's can see, someone being,
that too.
There's plausible deniability for, someone coming up and be like, hey, will you sign my Roy Ed poster? It's like, no, that's creepy, my friend, I don't like that.
I'm not doing that, maybe you'll have to show me some other dudes, that aren't related or in a power dynamic. But yeah, I mean, homophobia is gross and bad, I'm saying is I don't think he would have got, insta-canceled in this community from that for other problematic reasons, but, conventions are, at least have been saying, and I think doing a much better job of actually enforcing the, hey, don't treat people with, Like, don't violate consent. Like, there's more signs about it, and people take it more seriously, I think, as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, like, and people, like, now are coming out, like, and sharing things, like, saying, like, I was worried about my career, because he's such a big person in this very small industry, like, so I was afraid to share this article, and, like, Monica Rial, who, is also a very well-known voice actor, she plays Bulma in Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, tight.
Has, like, been very vocal, saying, like, this has been going on for 15 years, like, I'm sick of, I've been saying this for 15 years.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that post. She's like, this isn't new, like, you guys just weren't listening. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, so
She's in a hell of stuff. Holy hell. Well, I guess there's only six voice actresses. Like,
yeah, she's got
she was stopped.
She's got the
cool. That's why I knew her.
Yeah, and Vic Mignogna released a statement denying any allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault, pedophilia, homophobia, and or antisemitism. Like,
I don't
kinda, like,
sorry, bro.
Don't even.
I don't believe you. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, man.
Like, at the very least, like, I have physically witnessed the homophobia, so, like, the rest of it, like, I have not had that interaction, but, like, I believe the people who have.
Well, I believe the people on all this stuff, but, like, that's what makes me think you're lying about. Like, that's what
the
makes me
things.
Super believe them. If you're like, I apologize for the inappropriate behavior, the pedophilia, the harassment, and the anti-Semitism. I see where you got the homophobia from. I'm sorry. Like, that would lead you to believe, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like, maybe he did do those things, but didn't realize he was doing it. Like, oh, do we want to give him the benefit of the doubt? We shouldn't, but would we? But now it's like, oh, you were never homophobic, my guy. Dog, like, we all were. Don't, come on, man, like, just admit it and say you're sorry, like, it's real easy, but, nope, that makes me think you're lying about the other stuff, so we
yeah,
should
exactly,
get
like,
the hell out of here.
Yeah, they're, like, it's one of those things, like, this is a very microcosm of that situation, but, like, there are other people with nice voices, like,
yeah,
just because he voice acted your favorite character doesn't mean that there isn't someone out there who did just as good of a job, who is not, a serial sexual harasser.
Yeah, like, we could, somebody else can do this. Oh, she's been doing Bulma for a long ass time, actually. Okay. Yeah. And additionally, what was I gonna say? Oh, despite the fact that we need to get him out of the paint, here's what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't use this, I hate that I have to say this, but I think I do. We shouldn't use this as a way to, like, shit on things that girls like. Because I think he was, like, a voice actor that a lot of, like, younger girls liked. I don't know any dudes
yeah.
who were like, ooh, let me go to the Vic Mignogna panel. Like,
no, yeah, his panels were, like, because I've been to a couple of his panels, and they were, like, at one point, like, there was a panel that I went to where I was cosplaying as Maka from Soul Eater, and he played as Maka's dad in Soul Eater, and when he saw that I had, like, my costume, and then he had the big scythe, he was like, Maka, like, in the character voice, and waved at me, and the girl, there's, like, a young teenager next to me, and she was like, whap, and she, like, slapped my arm, and she was like, he talked to you, and I was like, oh my god,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, he did, we're both
he had
people.
A very passionate young female fan base, which makes it all the more uncomfortable that
the allegations, gestures,
yeah.
Generally, so yeah, we shouldn't use that as an excuse to shit on young girls' tastes, we can shit on him, though, for exploiting
yeah,
that
absolutely.
Audience. I'm fine with that. Let's go ham. Maybe older women might see the need to talk to, like, their younger friends about, like, noticing toxic behavior. It's still on the
mm-hmm.
guys to not do that, but that's the most I'm willing to put any of the fans through, is saying, hey, watch out for creeps. I'm not going to shit on their interests.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say about that. I don't know. Maybe have better taste, because I don't think he was that hot, but that's just personality. And, like, that's just me disagreeing with you on a personal level. You could like who you like. I don't know. I didn't think he was that hot. That's just me.
I mean, like, in fairness, like, again, like, the voice acting community is very small. There are, like, four people.
Yeah, and all the dudes are, like, bald dudes that are very cool, but they're very cool and handsome, but they are all, like, older guys. Not exactly heat bait as made up. But I didn't think Andy Samberg was either, but I guess I've been proved wrong, so what do I know?
There you go. Sometimes it's like it's that thing. Sometimes when a person that you're not necessarily attracted to as an actor plays a character that you really love, you can see them as attractive as that character, even if you're not like into them. Like, for example, Viggo Mortensen, the iconic example of that, who is not even remotely attractive as a regular person, but is the sexiest person in the world as Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
I could see where someone would get that from, yeah.
Like, just these things happen sometimes.
Yeah, I believe that. And oh yeah, your document did look different than mine. That's weird. How that happened? Oh well.
It's funny how we did have some overlap on it.
Yeah. What else? What else? A lot of hot people in the world.
There really
I don't
are.
like this. It makes me uncomfortable. I shouldn't have started
Aw.
watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It was a
Don't
bad.
say
It's
that.
a, for that reason, I mean.
There are too many hot people in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm trying to get my,
No, there's not too many. There's like three. But
No,
like.
yeah, that's true. There are like three.
Sorry, no. There's more than that. But it's only an issue to me. Like, I can see why people are attracted to Terry Crews. I am not.
Yeah.
I can see why people are
No,
attracted
yeah.
to Captain Holt. I am personally not. Some people are
Yeah,
probably
but
attracted to
like.
Charles. I am not. But.
Those people, Godspeed.
He was in Superbad, right?
I've never seen Superbad, I couldn't tell you.
I think he is. Like, I've been saying that, but I don't know it for a fact. Joe Latruglio. Yeah, I really think he's in Superbad. Yeah, he was in Superbad. For those who have seen Superbad, remember the guy that like takes him to the party and like gets hit by a car, like briefly? I believe he was that guy. He plays like such a good like goofy dude who's like out of his luck but also like everyone's friend.
Yeah, the
Yeah, Francis the Driver is who he was. Also, he was in Wreck-It Ralph
Huh,
as
who's whomst?
Markowski.
Whomst is
I don't know.
that?
Was it the drunk dude? It was the commander at the bar?
Maybe.
That's all I got. I don't know. It throws me off though, 'cause the guy that voices Jerry from Rick and Morty is like the judge that does cocaine. Like, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know this voice from somewhere. It's like, oh yeah, it's Jerry, and also the guy from Archer. So, yes, that's all I got on that. Lots of hot people. Lots of hot people.
Yes, for many attractive people.
And then
Yeah,
what's
so jumping
yeah,
back
Kingdom Hearts 3, what's
real
going on?
quick. So I just wanted to touch base on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Because a lot of people finished playing it. I, for one, am was shocked to learn following the end of or like, following my brother finishing it, that apparently this is just the
Wait.
end of Sora's story.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Duh.
That's so wild to me. Like, they really, like, it, buddy, it took you 13 years to make one game. Are
Well,
their grandchildren gonna be playing? I mean, like,
it
I know
took,
they made
yeah,
other.
13 years for Sora's story. Everything else has been, like, pretty consistently going all over the place, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I guess, like, the other, like, Dream Drop Distance and all those sort of things have been coming out with slightly more alacrity, but still, like, just the idea that this is just going to continue for the rest of eternity is really funny to me.
It's kind of like Final
Also,
Fantasy, you know? It
yeah,
just
well, also, like,
moves
the
on.
thing about the it being the end of Sora's story is, spoiler alert, real quick, skip ahead like 15 seconds. My brother told me that Sora dies at the end of this game.
I believe it.
So, like, I feel like maybe the next game's going to be like trying to bring him back, like,
I mean, there's.
after all he spent, all this time he spent trying to save his friends, like, all they wanted to do was get off Destiny Island and have an adventure together, and things got way out of hand.
I mean, did that not happen?
I mean, it happened, but they got way out of hand. I mean, like, all John Egbert wanted to do was play a video game, but things got way out of hand, like.
How dare you? How dare you make that completely logical connection? I need to still read Homestuck. Homestuck and Kingdom Hearts are the same thing. So, I mean, I've played the first two Kingdom Hearts. That's got to be, like, a couple acts of Homestuck, right? Homestuck.
Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I'm counting it.
If you don't like music, you could always just read the physical comic books, but that sounds dumb to me. I don't know why, when there are so many cool interactive parts of Homestuck, that you would read the bound volumes. But
to get somebody
into
it,
their own.
It might be a different experience. Is there, like, other content there?
I mean, there's, like, they're annotated, so I guess they have, like, commentary from Hussey in the corners, but, like, still.
I feel like that's why you're buying it. It's not for people who've never read Homestuck before. And, like, you can't play the little game stuff. Like, you can't explore
exactly.
John's house. I mean, I guess you theoretically could, but I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3, it's something. It's out.
It's there.
And there's a game called Anthem coming out. Apparently it's kind of like Destiny, like that, like it's like a loot shooter. So if you've played Destiny or what the hell is it called? It's not Warhammer. What's that game called? Like War something.
God of War?
No, it's a bunch of robots. It's like a robot ninjas. What the hell is this game called?
Detroit Become Human?
No. I should know this. It doesn't matter. There's a bunch of free games out there where you basically just go on missions and you just keep shooting stuff and you get better loot and then you shoot some more stuff and it's like a cycle. And that's the point. Like, it's supposed to be repetitive in that way. But to me, that just doesn't seem the most interesting thing. Warframe, there it is. So people are saying you can either play Warframe or Destiny or Anthem. There's no need to play all three. Or necessarily even two.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of free bundles off of Twitch for it if you have Twitch Prime. Oh, I can get Downwell for free. I can get Dear Esther for free. Lots of free games. Yeah, you know, Twitch Prime's actually a pretty good deal. Too bad I barely ever download the games. Oh, also Final Fantasy 14 is free for a month on there.
Oh, God.
Might have to give it a shot, you know what I'm saying?
Do you want to make some mistakes?
I love mistakes. Oh, yeah. I came to the Twitch page to look at that, and, like, some of the people, it's like, hey, you may like this person. I'm like, yeah, because they're an Overwatch streamer. But they're, like, playing Apex Legends, like Kefri, EVA. They're all playing. Everyone's playing. Nobody's playing. Like, I have XQC followed, and I don't know why. I don't really watch his streams. But I don't know if he even plays Overwatch anymore, because he kept getting, like, banned. Like, sometimes it was his fault, but sometimes it's just because people want to, like, troll him, which, debatable if that's fair or not, but yeah, he's not even, like, playing Overwatch anymore, and that's, like, a cool 15,000, 17,000 views right now. Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest streamers playing the game aren't playing. I don't know what that means. It's gotta mean something. Who knows? We're a pop culture show, everybody. That's what we do. We talk about pop culture. We ramble a little bit. It's fun. Y'all love it, right? It's great.
Yeah, you love it. You love us.
Yes, we're lovely.
Come hang out with us. In our Discord.
Give us virtual hugs. And there's no, like, URL you would, like, say for that. It'll be in the show notes. That's the best way to look at it. Just click on it.
Yeah. Cool. Check it out. Come find us.
Besides that, though, Stephanie, could you do me a favor?
Hit that social media biz?
Could you do that for us?
Yeah, always. Absolutely. Yippee. So, hey, woohoo, if you want to listen to us, you can do that all kinds of places. You can find us at characterreveal.simplecast.fm if you want to listen in a browser. You can find us on Apple by iTunes Podcasts if you want to do that, if you're listening there. If you want to throw us some stars or, like, some words as a rating, that'd be cool. We would love to hear your thoughts. That's the best way for us to get noticed by more people. So that'd be awesome. If you want to find us elsewhere on the internet, you can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev. It's Character R-E-V. If you want to find us on Facebook, search for Character Reveal. Find us on Instagram at Character Reveal. We're trying to get some more pictures up there.
Yeah, we're actually posting a little bit more regularly
Document
now.
Our life. Yeah. document our awesome lives.
Hey, we put some of our D&D campaign on there. You can see, like, the proto version of my character. She's awesome.
Yeah. My character is also awesome and annoying. In an awesome way. And yeah, we're in places. Me and Dom, we're two separate people who have our own social media footprints. Dom has that branding. He's Brother Dom everywhere, but he wants you to find him on the internet. Which leads me to wonder what he is on places that you don't want to find him. He doesn't want you to find him on the internet.
Like porn sites or something.
And what those places are.
It's just like porn sites or something. Like, I can't think of anywhere I'm active at. there's not Brother Dom. Like, I don't actually know. Like, one of my YouTube accounts is just Dom. Like, that's... I don't know. Like, there's nowhere significant, but...
Yeah, and so, like, then, you can find me as Hella Steph on Instagram, as Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, and... Yeah, and if you have any ideas that you want to share with us, any thoughts... comments, ideas for guests, or anything else for us to talk about, that email for us is characterreveal@gmail.com.
It is that.
Come chat.
Yo, we didn't even talk about Shaggy. What are we doing?
Oh, man.
We didn't mention the Shaggy memes. He needs our help.
I'm going to say, now that you've mentioned it, he's 0.01% of our podcast, so.
Mathematically, that might be true. But I'm not gonna check. Woo-hoo. I think we're good. That's it, right? We did a podcast. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening, listeners. Doing the thing that you do. You listen.
Yeah, hey, love it.
But hey, until next time, see you later.
Bye.